Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, the story of Jackie Robinson.
Hit the street, Jackie Robinson, hit that ball. It went zooming past the left field wall. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie, hit that ball.
We have two guests with us during the course of this hour. Scott Simon has written a wonderful book about Jackie Robinson, which I urge you to read. It was written a few years ago and is titled Jackie Robinson and the Integration of Baseball. Scott writes this about Jackie Robinson, a bold man, dark-skinned and adorned in Dodger blue, who displays the daring and audacity to stand unflinchingly against taunts, strike back at beanballs, and steal home with 50,000 people watching and waiting for him to spring willingly into the path of a pitched ball and slide into the iron-bound clench of a catcher protecting home plate. It's a story that rouses us to shake off dust, blood, and bruises, and keep going. Scott is one of our guests this hour. He, of course, is the very well-known host of NPR's Weekend Edition with Scott Simon. The Washington Post has said it is the most literate, witty, moving, and just plain interesting news show on any dial. Scott has reported from all 50 states, 5 continents, 10 wars from El Salvador to Sarajevo, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and he has written a number of books. He is a native of Chicago, and we should add that he is a big-time Chicago Cubs fan. Scott, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, and we should explain to people that might hear funny things behind me. I'm on a plane at the Atlanta airport, so
oh my goodness,
you might hear people going back. No, that's all right. It's good to be with you.
You were speaking at Creighton University on Jackie Robinson last night, weren't you?
Yes, I was. It was the April 15th. A lot of people think of it as tax day. In our family, we think of it as the day that Jackie Robinson actually walked onto the field there in Ebbets Field. So I was invited to speak at Creighton University, which, by the way, is the alma mater of Tom Ricketts, the man who owns the Chicago Cubs.
Oh.
So I hope I did well enough to attract his attention that way. Because gosh knows, every time I go to Wrigley Field and bring my mitt, he seems totally uninterested in bringing me in from the bullpen.
I'm delighted for you, Scott, to meet our in-studio guest here in Milwaukee. If you don't already know him, he is the man who threw out the first pitch at the Milwaukee Brewers game this season, Mr. James Beckham. He was given the honor because he has been keeping baseball alive for inner-city young people in Milwaukee. He's a former Negro League baseball player. He started his youth baseball journey in 1964, and the fields that he cares for and runs are in Milwaukee at 9th and Brown. The players he works with are from Milwaukee's Central City, and he has worked with 50,000 young people since 1964. He saw Jackie Robinson play and says that he picked up some techniques from Jackie Robinson. Mr. Beckham, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me be here. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, our great pleasure. And Scott, your pleasure, I'm sure, to meet Mr. James Beckham.
Yes.
I hope you can meet him in person sometime. It's been his dream, and I'm trying to make this happen for him, to have the Little League Championships take place in Milwaukee on his fields. And by golly, I think that ought to happen.
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yeah. The movie 42 opened last Friday, and I saw it with my son over the weekend. There is something to be said for bringing out a movie like this. I must say that the audience that where I attended the movie was filled with young Little League players who had their caps on, and I'm sure many of them were hearing his story for the first time. It was also a very integrated audience with very old people and very young people. And I'm glad that the movie is out and that we remember his story, Scott.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to see it a few weeks ago. They set up a screening for me, and I thought it did actually a marvelous job, very conscientious job. I mean, as the author of a book, I could, you know, pick holes with this and that because it did change some things for dramatic purposes, but I think responsibly to history. And I like the way that they kind of gave more attention to Eddie Stanky, who was often overlooked in the history books, including my own. and the real role he played in defending Jackie Robinson to people on the other side of the field and making common cause with him, despite a background in bigotry. I think it's a wonderful portrait of the marriage of Rachel and Jackie Robinson. It really was a partnership in all ways, and in many ways continues to be.
Yeah.
Rachel, in a lot of interviews for the movie, and is as beautiful as she, when Jackie first saw her on the UCLA campus. A great story to tell, and I think the movie does a wonderful job of presenting that partnership and sort of bearing out what Mr. Ricky said to Jackie Robinson, where he said, you know, the right partner makes all the difference, and she sure did.
Mm-hmm. And she still does at the age of 90. Mr. Beckham, when did you see Jackie Robinson play, and tell me what tips you picked up from him in your playing in the Negro Leagues?
Well, I was able to see him in the 40s and 50s, you know, when he first got drafted into the minor league, and he came up, he was playing the Cardinals, you know. And I used to watch him because my brother was a Cardinal fan, and I came to be a Dodger fan. So we would always see who's going to be the best team in that. And Jackie Robinson, to me, was quite a guy when he got on base. You know, he used to take those extra steps. I used to count the steps he used to do so before he'd take off. So I sort of feel if I tried that, would it work for me like it was working for him? So when I started doing that, I was able to steal more bases than what I was on the other hand.
Hmm. Scott?
I asked Mr. Beckham, I guess it worked for him. You know, it's interesting because Jackie Robinson is overwhelmingly identified with stealing home.
Yeah.
Which you almost never see nowadays. He actually only stole home 9 times in his career, but that became his signature play. And the nerve that it takes. I mean, my gosh, you're running into home plate. That's where the pitcher is throwing the baseball.
Right.
talk about seeming counterintuitive, as we say nowadays, but that was the play more than any other, really, that he made his own. It symbolized, I think, why he made himself the most arresting, dramatic, and in many ways even just old playing useful figure on the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he had occasional hitting slump, he would manage to get on base and totally change the velocity of the game by not even necessarily stealing a base so much as threatening to and rattling the pitcher. He was masterful.
Let's talk about what he faced during his career, and your book makes it so clear. The taunts, the death threats, the cleats in his body, the bloody trial, as you write, of standing up to beanballs and cleats in his shins, his chest, the race-baiting taunts. Goodness, it was really, really awful, Scott, wasn't it?
Yes, and I think not only are those, it's startling if you see the movie 42 to hear those words again, because I'm glad to say we just don't use them anymore. Gosh knows, I'm sure they're used in some places, but we know that they're wrong. To hear the words in the film again reminds you that those epithets were invented to hurt people, to get underneath their skin and into their souls and to try and provoke them and blow them up. So just to hear those words, I think, is upsetting. You also have to remember, they weren't just words. This was at a time in the United States when lynchings were commonplace, when physical violence against African Americans and other minorities in many places of the United States was sniffed at or barely regarded. And you had to take those threats utterly and absolutely seriously. One of the things that I do take some pleasure in telling people, as I told the people at Creighton University last night, as you watch the film, remember this. Within 9 weeks, the Cleveland Indians, then owned by Bill Veeck, brought in Harry Doby, and the American League was also integrated. Because of what Jackie Robinson achieved, especially in those first few weeks, demonstrating his virtuosity as a baseball player and his courage and capacity, he changed the game very quickly. The game became integrated very quickly. And more to the point, he became, oh, Kathleen, I'm sorry, I'm getting an email and it's announced with a hunting horn. Not only that, but he became the most admired man in America, according to polls, within a few months. As much as the epithets that he that he had to withstand were coarse and gross and appalling. At the same time, as Branch Rickey had planned, there were people who were one to his side. You know, Branch Rickey could have signed two or three African-American players from the Negro Leagues at the same time, but he chose just to sign the one player, Jackie Robinson, because he felt America would rally around the drama of the lone warrior going out into the field of combat. And that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. And yet, as you write, the strain really slowed his body and probably led him to an early death, didn't it?
Yes. I mean, I suppose you'd have to defer to the medical authorities, but he was 53 years old when he died. He was a diabetic. I happen to know a little bit about diabetes. Stress is the great factor that kills. The kind of abuse that he had to absorb, I think, is not only unconscionable, but it's unfathomable to people. And it certainly leaves an effect on the circulatory system, in addition to leaving an effect on the soul. He also, and I never forget this, as a parent, he had to suffer the death of a child.
Yes.
The child who we see in the film, Jackie Jr., died a couple of years before Jackie Robinson died. And I think there's no pain, obviously, that cuts into a parent's soul as deeply as the loss of a child. And I think that also contributed to stress and depression. He was just 53 when he died and, you know, had a lot of work left to do. He became a figure in the civil rights movement. He became a political activist in the Republican Party. He was writing a column for the Amsterdam News. This was a man who had been galvanized by his own experience, knew how important his life story was to other people, and tried to live up to his responsibilities to mean something to this country, and mm-hmm. certainly did.
And Mr. Beckham, when you watched him play that first year, what went through your mind? You must have realized, as an African-American man, in what this man was doing and the kind of stress that he was under. You saw it through different eyes, probably.
Well, you know, when he played, you know, it's always going to have a lot of people didn't particularly like to see him play. And then when he got some hits, you know, people didn't care for him getting those doubles that he was getting. And a lot of time he would get a single and turn it into a double, you know. But that was because he was trying to show his ability to be a good ball player. And he wanted to make sure that when Frank Rickey brought him in, that he didn't let him down, that he was able to deliver what he had said that he could do. So I think by doing all of this, you know, he knows he had to take some punishment in order for him to be successful. And I just think that was just, I take my hat off to him because a lot of people wouldn't have been able to do what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's important, Kathleen, I think, to... And I think this is good with the new attention given to Jackie Robinson. It's important not to see him as just a social activist who is a good baseball player. Or as I say to people, Mahatma Gandhi in cleats. He was the most versatile and accomplished college athlete of his time at UCLA. Baseball arguably wasn't even his best sport, probably football or basketball. And one of the many reasons that Branch Rickey was intrigued by him and ultimately chose him is that he could play almost any position on the field. Branch Rickey didn't want to bring up someone who was just a shortstop and have Brooklyn Dodger fans think, oh my gosh, that's Pee Wee's position. So at the time, he gave him a first baseman's glove and said, you're our first baseman. That's almost the one position on the field Jackie Robinson hadn't played.
Oh, goodness.
But of course, he became a Golden Glove first baseman. So it was a matter of waiting until the right position, until any position opened up on the field, say for pitcher or catcher. And it is important to remember that he only would be remembered for what he accomplished for this country if he was the great athlete that he was. And I think it's difficult to understand. He was such a good athlete over so many different sports, and that's something that we don't really see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about the announcement above my head. Are you traveling with a rollerboard, Mr. Beckham?
No.
Do you have to go, Scott? I know. Are you on an airplane?
I'm on an airplane, yes.
You're on an airplane.
They let me board early so that I could have some peace and quiet, but then everything got delayed, so now they're boarding. So, in any event, I'm here. I think I probably better go soon. I hate to say it, but they're going to tell us to turn it off. And you're not going to enjoy the boarding announcements anyway.
No.
You'd rather hear Mr. Beckham, I'm sure.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't. Just a final question, though. There is this... a little bit of a history of activism on Jackie Robinson's part, and the movie would lead us to believe that Branch Rickey wanted somebody who got aboard a bus on the Fort Hood Army Base in Texas and took a seat in the middle row when you weren't supposed to do that. I mean, he liked that about him, right?
He did like that about him because he understood that he was a courageous human being. He was somebody who understood the real stakes in life and wouldn't back down. What he had to do was turn that courage and that audacity, the instincts, the combative instincts that Jackie Robinson had that made him a great athlete and make him appreciate that it was important for him, particularly in those early years, to not fight back on the baseball field, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. But Branch Rickey, they understood each other. They liked each other. They had, Branch Rickey was always careful not to call it a father-son relationship, but he did call it a filial relationship. You know, they were both religious men. They both believed in monogamous marriages and big and good families, and they were both dapper dressers. They both believed in personal discipline, and I think they understood that about each other. And Branch Rickey was quickly won to the idea that Jackie Robinson was someone who would understand the stakes involved and would alter what was his ordinarily instinctive combative athletic behavior. Not that he would retreat on the field, but that he would save his acts of retribution, if you please, for the field by hitting line drives and stealing bases. And that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm. Scott, thank you very much. Your book is terrific. I urge people to read it. It's just very good. Thanks.
Good to be with you. Thank you for making room for me in these unusual circumstances.
Yeah.
And an honor to meet you, Mr. Beckham.
Thank you.
Scott Simon. Scott is, among many other things, author of Jackie Robinson and the Integration of Baseball. We're going to be welcoming phone calls. We're honoring Jackie Robinson this hour of our program because it's Jackie Robinson Week. He integrated baseball, Major League Baseball, on April 15th of 1947. Mr. James Beckham is with us in our studios here in Milwaukee. He is a hero here in Milwaukee. In 1964, he started a little league team that is still going very strong. He's worked, I am astounded, with 50,000 young people from Milwaukee's inner city area. He is executive director of the Beckham Stapleton Little League, and he played in the Negro Leagues in 1954 and 1956. Here's our phone number for you to join our conversation, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. I know that some of you have had a chance to see the film 42, and we can also talk about that in introducing the Jackie Robinson story to a whole new group of young people in this country. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
They can say all they want. We're just here to play ball.
It's just a bunch of crackpots still fighting the Civil War.
Well, hell, we'd have won that son of a gun if the cornstalks would have held out. We just ran out of ammunition.
Better luck next time, Pee Wee.
Ain't gonna be a next time, Jack.
All we got's right here.
Thank you, Jack.
What are you thanking me for?
I got family up there from Louisville. I need them to know. I need them to know who I am.
Hey, number one! You playing ball or socializing?
Playing ball, Lump.
Come on! Don't let us get to you!
Playing ball. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
Pee Wee Reese in the movie 42, and Scott begins, Mr. Beckham, his book, talking about the meeting of Pee Wee Reese's mother and son and Mrs. Robinson and one of her children. Right, they were in New York City right after 9/11, and they were selecting a statue for that had that moment where Pee Wee Reese puts his arm around Jackie Robinson and the explosions took place. And someone said, Jackie Robinson, I'm glad he's not here to see this event. And Jackie's son said, no, he would have been able to carry us through this, that he had the kind of strength that the heroism that allows us to carry on with our lives, which I thought was what a time for them to have been in New York, and what a moment that was. Did you ever want to play in for the National League, for the American League?
Oh, yes. I would like to have done that. I was scouted twice. The first time I was scouted by the Yankees, I was in...
Were you really?
I was in service out of the Marine Corps at that time.
Oh.
And I was playing for the Marine Corps team.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I couldn't get out.
No.
But I think every person would like to be successful to make that goal, to play for one, either the American League or the National League team. I have always wanted to play for the Dodgers for some reason, because that was because of Jackie Robinson's start there. And I was hoping that one day that I could make that. But last time I was scouted, I was 33 years of age, and I was scouted by the New York Giants.
Hmm.
At that time, I was catching. He thought I was younger than what I was.
Hmm.
It's a lot of joy to see the game play and watch great plays and see guys do. When I go to the ball game, I love to see good plays and plays that a lot of people think cannot be made.
Mm-hmm.
You make them, you know. To me, that's a lot of excitement for me, because I think about some of the plays I made that people thought I couldn't play, couldn't make, you know. And you go out there to try to be a winner, and you try to do that for your home team or for whatever, you know.
Where did you learn to play ball?
I started playing when I was in high school. I was about 15 years of age.
Where were you living?
I was living in Jackson, Tennessee at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And baseball there was not open to, like, the big-time players, you know, so it wasn't there. It was hard for you to... scouts didn't come to those places, you know. We had great ball players there. We did have one guy who made the Cleveland Indians, Walter Bond. He played for a few years with Cleveland, then he was traded to the Astros, and then he was traded to Minnesota, so, and he passed away, you know. But when you play with some guys, I played with some guys that I thought was a much better ball player than I were, you know, and it's hard to get the opportunity to get to some of those games, you know, and get scouted. Today it's much better because the scouts come around and they're more available to this part of the town than it was in where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
So you look forward and you try to train the kids now to be good ball players, try to teach them the skill, how to play it, how to do it, how to hit, and all that, you know, and you're hoping one day you see one of them make it.
Have you had that opportunity to see one of them make it?
No, I haven't had. Before I started Little League baseball, when I was playing in the Milwaukee County League, you know, I had one guy to go up, Craig Strusik, went up to the Minnesota Twins and played for 3 or 4 years. Now he's teaching school.
Huh.
But it's a lot of fun to see it. We had 4 or 5 guys that go to the minor league team, but they didn't be successful to come up to the major.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you think it would have been easier for you if everything had been integrated much earlier?
Yes, I do. I think with the opportunity would have been much greater for us, you know. You have to have the opportunity to get there, and if that don't come, you know, then you start left out, you know. So a lot of players don't get a chance to be seen. And that's the key to the game. You first got to be seen,
right.
You know. And those are the things that we hope that comes, like the Brewers right now. They're working, trying to bring a pennant back to Milwaukee, you know. And they have their pitchers. They got young pitchers. They got to have some disappointment with that, because that's how they get better, by losing a few games, because they realize some of the mistakes they make, they got to work hard to try to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Let's go to some phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Mr. James Beckham is with us. This is the week that we celebrate Jackie Robinson and his entry into Major League Baseball in 1947, April 15th. And so we have a new movie out that honors him, which is introducing his life story to a number of people. Mr. James Beckham has a lot of history himself. He was a Negro League player, and he started a whole Little League program in 1964, and he's been working at it all of these years. It is in Milwaukee at 9th and Brown. If you've never seen the fields, they're just terrific, and he's worked with all kinds of young people. And, of course, watched Jackie Robinson when he was young and picked up some techniques from him. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. Scott in La Crosse is our first caller. Hi, Scott.
Hi there, Kathleen.
Hi,
this
Scott.
Is a great honor. Almost makes me wish I was a baseball fan. but my question is, the first team to integrate was a National League team. The last team to integrate, if my memory serves, were the Red Sox, an American League team. And there was a time in baseball, in you know, more recent baseball history, when the National League was just dominant over the American League, and it was almost entirely you could attribute it almost entirely to the fact that the National League had been much more progressive in going down into the Latin American countries and setting up a scouting system and bringing up those ball players. And since these people are business people, theoretically, in other words, you want to get the best players you can on the field, which is why, you know, it was smart baseball for Branch Rickey to say, look, we've got a whole bunch of players who could improve our team that we can't sign just because of their color. And then the National League does the same thing with Hispanic players. They go down there and say, hey, there's a whole bunch of people that we could bring up that would make our teams better. So my question for you, sir, is why in general, I mean, Bill Vack being obviously an exception with Cleveland when he owned the Indians, but did the National League have that reputation or that history of being so much more progressive?
I think that's because they look at things a little different than the American League were looking at it, you know. You have to be around, and I imagine Branch Rickey had to watch a lot of black players, and he knew they had the talent. But now somebody had to give the opportunity for them to do it. And I think he was able to talk to some players, and they got good relationship. And he decided that he would just go out and try to make things happen that way because I feel that he thought that the black player should get this opportunity, and I'm going to try to make it happen.
Hmm. Well, glad he did. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. The movie includes some of the faith of Branch Rickey, his Methodism, and also Jackie Robinson's, and has passages of the Bible read and would indicate that Branch Rickey did some of this based on his faith. Do you think that that's true?
Yeah, I think he did that with faith, and I think he realized Jackie Robinson was an honest man when he was able to talk to him, and he feel that he could be serious and talk serious to him about what he'd like to see happen and what he would like to do. And I think that they, by doing this, Jackie would like to see this happen too, so he was willing to do the thing that he asked him to do. And to me, that's sort of like when I started Little League Baseball. To me, I was, when my pastor asked me to do this, it was something that I had never thought about doing. But he said that I could do this because he needed to do this, and this is something you can do to give the kids something to do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
If I started this, this wasn't something that I thought I would be around this long. I thought I would just get it started and somebody would take over, but that didn't happen. So by being involved in it, you started seeing the youth doing things, and you see the love they show you, then it makes you stick around that you don't want to see it go. So you get the point where you don't want to let them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jackie Robinson, once he was accepted through record, that he didn't want to let Branch Rickey down. He didn't want to let him down. He wanted to show him that he could do what he asked him to do and that he could take the punishment and that he'd still be successful and be a good ball player for him.
Hmm. And you've been doing what you're doing for 49 years.
Yes. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of joy. You see a lot of smile. And to me, when you show you love, you know, it's to me, it's a joy to me to see that my all the kids that I had that came through the program to me have shown me a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty hard to step back. You have to keep pushing.
Yeah. Let's go to Donnie in Spring Green. Hi, Donnie.
How you doing, Captain?
All right, how are you?
Great. My question is, Jackie Robinson went to UCLA, and he was a four-sport athlete, and he probably could have went pro at football or basketball. And why do you think he picked baseball?
Well, he probably was taking baseball because at the time he probably wasn't approached to play basketball or football at that time, although he played three sports in school. I think that came his opportunity that he thought he should take this and not sit around and wait for something that he may not get.
Mm. Why did you pick baseball?
Well, when I was in school, I played baseball and basketball. That was my two choices. I picked baseball because it was exciting. I guess because I liked the punters. You could steal, you could hit and run, and things like that, you know. So my brother was a much better ball player than I were, you know. And that was one of his skills of playing. You know, he could do a lot. So you try to join some of the people that you know and see if you can do what they do.
It must have been quite a moment for you just a little while ago to throw out the first pitch for the Brewers opening day at Miller Park, wasn't it?
Well, that was not. And most people thought I could make it, so... that was a thing that we had to go into, and it was a lot of fun. And then I had two of my players with me. I had a girl and a boy, and they was excited. That was quite a treat for them. And we all threw the pitch out at the same time, you know. So that was a lot of fun, you know. And I enjoyed doing it, you know. It was something. And I went out that day, and the Brewers, it was able to win that day, too. So.
Because you were there, right? Yeah, a lot of superstition involved in baseball. Maybe it was because you were there. There are, when you look at the statistics, the number of African-American players who are playing for the major leagues is down, and some would say it's down rather substantially. Why is that? Why aren't there more African-American players?
Now, because a lot of kids want to play basketball than football. A lot of kids... like to be a Michael Jordan, but that's going to be a hard goal to fill, you know. And to me, baseball would be a much better chance for them because of their height.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball height doesn't matter. It's just your talent that you give. Basketball, if you're not tall, you might not be successful. Football is a game that most anybody can play football. Even if you're short, you still can be a great fullback or something, you know. But they love football, and that's what they're playing now, football. And also soccer is getting involved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids that play more of those games than they do the other sport.
Hmm. And how do you recruit young people, Mr. Beckham?
I do what?
How do you get young people to come to the fields and play?
Well, we broadcast it. We put signs out. We put flyers. We go to door and put flyers in those doors. And we also go to the school and put flyers in school. And we involve it in churches, so we try to get the message out for the kids to come out in order to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for us right now, Little League Baseball, the players are picking up more than what they used to be. We're getting a lot of kids now interested in playing T-ball, you know. And that number in my group is going up higher than what it used to be. That could be a feeder for us, that by getting the kids in younger, they would stay in the game and they would be ready to do something later down the line maybe. And make the, you will see more black players involved in the future than you have in the past.
Mm-hmm. You've said in this wonderful booklet that I saw, the 2012 yearbook for the Beckham Stapleton Little League, a mentor said to you at one point in your life, from the ranks of youngsters who now stand on the morning side of the hill will come the leaders, the future strength and character of the nation. With that observation, we must not only develop an outlet, but must also develop a purpose.
Well, you know, everybody's not going to be a baseball player when you come out of this. You know, there's other things that he can be in, and we're interested in young people make sure they get an education.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think that's it. Everybody's not going to be a ball, but his attitude and how he handles himself is very important. I believe if you go to school and you go to church and put your time, that you can come up and be a great person. In our program, we have a lot of guys that have came through the program, teachers, lawyers, doctors, on the police force, on the firemen. So these are the things, aldermen, supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that whatever they do when they finish coming through our program, that it would be some help to them in the future to do something with the community to try to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Will you take any of the ballplayers to see the Jackie Robinson film, the new one that's out, and would that be an important film for young ballplayers to see?
I think it would be a very important to see it. See how he handled himself and the thing that he was able to do. And I think this is the key to it, you know. Watch how he stand in the batter box and stuff like this, you know. How you take that merchant. Scott was talking about playing, Jackie Robinson played different places. First base is a hard bad to play because I couldn't play it either. I couldn't learn how to shift my foot. So I actually started out as a shortstop, but I was also asked to play first base, but it was hard. I never could get used to playing first base. But I played all the other positions, like second, short, third, and also catching.
So Jackie was really a shortstop?
He started out as a shortstop, but they moved him to second because Pee Wee Reese was at first at shortstop, and he was quite a player. So it's hard to move an old guy who's already established himself real good. So you have to fill the gaps that what is needed. And at that time, they needed a good second baseman.
Well, that's a hard thing to do, to be asked to step in and play a position that you're not at all familiar with.
Well, you have to make some adjustment, but it's not really that hard on certain adjustment you have to make. It's hard for an infielder to go out and be an outfielder, too. It's a lot of adjustment you have to make to be a great outfielder. If you're strictly an infielder, you're shifting your status around, and it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I couldn't handle the outfield myself. It's the judgment and the jump that you get on the ball. You have to know how to get the jump on the ball, and you need to have a good throwing arm out there, too. So it's a lot of adjustment, but second base, shortstop, and third base, and catching, I was very good at that.
It's one of those sports when the skill that's involved is so enormous, and yet those who play it at this level make it seem just sort of like ballet, sort of not exactly effortless, but there's a beauty in it that makes it just seem, oh, yeah, that you can catch that, and yet you know if you tried to catch it yourself, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, it's because this guy have got into the groom. Going at that ball, like going to the ball left or the right, you know. For a second baseman, the hardest play to make is when you're going to your right, because when you feel that ball, you got to come up and you got to come up throwing your heart. It's much easier for me to go to the left than it was for me to go to the right. And that's the same play in shortstop. When you do that in shortstop, you got to have a strong arm or you can't make that throw.
Yeah. So, obviously, then, Jackie Robinson was a guy you watched very carefully when you were young. When you say you learned techniques from him, and from what I'm gathering from our conversation, you really did watch what he was doing.
When he came to the Cardinals in St. Louis, I watched him every game.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I was loved to see him play. I loved to see him go in the hole and get the ball, and going behind second base and making a play when the ball sometime. Number you thought would be a hit, and he can make the play and do it. And of course, there were other players that I thought was good, too, like Red Shandy, I thought was a great second baseman for the Cardinals, you know. But those are the things that you see in the good plays. You enjoy to see good plays, and I think a lot of people go to the game to see good plays because it's a lot of joy to watch good plays made.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And he was a phenomenally good ball player, really, right off the start. The movie indicated that, but as I've read about him, that year was an extraordinary year for Jackie Robinson.
Well, Jackie Robinson, you know, when he went on the field, you see him, to me, if he was anxious to play the game, you know. And you were just cheering him all along that he could do good, and that you also saying, you know, he was going to do good. You know, so you were excited when he makes the play, but yet still you weren't surprised sometimes with the type of hits he got.
Did he surprise America, though, when he started?
I think he surprised a lot of American people because they didn't think he could make it. Yeah, I think he did. And a lot of people were hoping that he'd fall. And that didn't happen. So he came up and actually made the Dodgers come to be on top, because when he played, he brought in Roy Campanella.
Right.
You know, and Junior Gillum came in there, and they were playing good ball.
Yeah.
So with those numbers coming, and then in the American League, when Larry Doherty started playing for the Cleveland Indians, you know, that was another big highlight that a lot of people had joy to see things happen. So and Jackie Robinson is the key to the whole picture.
What did you think? Scott writes in his book, and I think the movie makes reference to this too, that Branch Rickey didn't think very highly of the Negro Leagues, that he thought there may be people weren't paid very much, the players weren't paid very much, there may have been some gambling going on. It just wasn't a good scene. Was it for you?
Well, for me, when I was playing, it wasn't any money in it. That was no money. And then you had to go different places. So when we traveled by cars, and our manager was scheduled. We left on a Friday. Everybody was working days. On a Friday evening, we left East St. Louis at about 5:30 in the evening. We would travel places like to Arkansas and arrive there sometime Saturday morning.
Ooh.
See? And we would play two games on a Saturday. Come halfway back home and play one game and come in. That was the key. The money was done that the owner would bet money that they would beat the other team. And they had a lot of places we played. They had fences tied around. You could walk around, but no bleachers. Everybody stood and watched the game. And we played on what they call a 60-40 basis. The winner gets 60%, the loser gets 40%. But when you got through, there wasn't too much money there. So it wasn't the money that you was paying for. It was most the enjoyment that you was playing.
You must have been exhausted. That's a grueling schedule.
Well, with that, you know, you couldn't. You also, you know, travel like that, you couldn't go to the. You had to. Getting food was another thing. We couldn't go into a restaurant and sit down and eat. We had to go to the back window, the back door, and get food. And bring it back to the car to eat it. You know. So it was a bad time. It was a hard time, but we lived through it, you know. But we were just excited about playing a game. So we,
I guess you must have loved this.
Well, I did.
You see, obviously,
I still do.
You still do. You've been doing it for years and years. You have a dream, and I've been trying to make this happen in our little way for a while. You really would like to bring, and it should be here, considering who you are in the fields, the Little League National Championship to Milwaukee, to your fields. That'd be a great thing, Mr. Beckham.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We hope we can make it with. I would love to see it happen one time, at least one time. I would love to see my kids win the World Series. I would. I think there would be a lot of joy, not to just me alone, but I think Milwaukee would have a big joy to see that happen too.
So how close is that to happening?
Well, it's a thing. You keep working, you keep pushing, and you keep talking, and you try to make sure that you get good coaches that can help you develop that. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's play another little clip from the movie 42. And this is a scene, I believe, where Jackie Robinson is asking Branch Rickey why he did this. And it's an interesting part of the movie. Let's listen to part of it, and I'd like for your response.
I was passing a sandlot. A little white boy was up at bat. You know what he was doing?
Sitting on a fastball?
He was pretending he was you.
Why'd you do this, Mr. Rickey?
I had a victory over fascism in Germany.
No. Why? Why'd you do it?
I love baseball. Given my whole life to it. 40-odd years ago, I was a player coach at Ohio Wesleyan University. We had a Negro catcher, best hitter on the team. Saw him laid low, broken, because of the color of his skin, and I didn't do enough to help. I told myself I did, but I didn't. There was something unfair at the heart of the game I loved, and I ignored it. But a time came when I could no longer do that.
Branch Rickey, that's in the film 42. I hope you have a chance to see it. It's, I think, worth seeing. Have you heard that story before? Was Branch Rickey asked why he took on Jackie Robinson?
No, not really, but I think, and he had a story, but in my thinking that he thought Jackie Robinson was a good choice to do what needed to be done because of what he had probably said. And I can see why he said that he wanted to do this. You know, when you see things happen sometime and you realize, you know, I had an opportunity to help somebody, and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's my time because, as he said, he had a black catcher, but he didn't do anything for him at that time. And then he feel like it's time for me to do something because I think they should have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think that can happen when your heart starts to whip. You know, you can get beat sometime by God when you don't do things at the right time. Your conscience say, hey, this, you need to do something. And I think that's what happened. I think his religion and his belief in Christ feel that it was time for him to try to do what he thought he had not done.
Mm. And did you think that Jackie Robinson was the right choice, or did you think there were many other players who could have done what he did?
I think some of the other players might not have done that, you know. And I think when you start throwing black cats at one another, you know, and spitting on somebody, I don't know what some people would have taken that.
Mm-hmm.
He was told, he agreed to take those punishment. It's for something to grow, somebody had to sacrifice themselves.
Hmm.
And this is what Jackie Robinson did.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed himself for the rest of his brothers.
Yeah, he did. He was a hero. He really was a hero, wasn't he?
Yeah, so it takes a hard person to do. It's sort of like Martin Luther King. Look how he suffered. The punishment he taken, and in order to do things right for the people, not just for the color, but for people, everybody should be treated equal. And when you do this, a lot of people don't see that.
Yeah.
They don't think you should be equal with them. But God put us all here. And you know, when we look at this whole picture, you know, who are we? We're all God's children, and we all actually are sisters and brothers, regardless what color the skin might be.
Let's go to Ann in Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi, this is really interesting. I never got to see Jackie Robinson or some of the greatest players play because we had to watch the Washington Senators, and they were a lousy team, lousy management, lousy owners, and terrible fans. But I wanted to say, I think you may have mentioned this, but Jackie Robinson, I think, played football at UCLA. And he was quite a, you know, he was kind of an early civil rights activist, and he was reputed to have had, you know, he wasn't just a kind of laid-back guy. He actually had a temper, and when he was taunted, and, you know, the fans can be pretty rough, he really had to work hard to control himself. He did it. But he got a reputation as sort of, you know, he was just a great guy with no temperament at all. And from what I've read, that wasn't the case. He really had to, you know, to overcome some difficulties. You know, anybody would have been tempted to fight back.
And I think Scott writes in his book that Robinson, of course, could be prickly, but, you know, he was a human being. You can't just be a saint. He was a full-blooded human being who got mad sometimes.
Well, I think we all sometimes get angry, but sometimes in doing that, we can control ourselves not to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knew what he had promised, and he was dedicated to keep that promise, so he didn't want to make his promise be short of what somebody here has said.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Ian, for your call. Well, I hope that it's a great season on your fields.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. You look wonderful. He's wearing a Beckham Stapleton Little League since 1964 jacket and a hat, and all the best to you, Mr. Beckham. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Our guest this hour, Scott Simon, joining us a little bit earlier, talking about Jackie Robinson. Again, Scott's book is Jackie Robinson and the Integration of Baseball. And you can certainly see baseball being played at 9th and Brown all summer long. And we thank Mr. James Beckham, who is a Negro League player and threw out the first pitch at opening day this year at Miller Park. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Katie Mattson for production.